Chapter 3. The moth floats above Terrace. The long-legged Syngiarath Velus sits on the lower bed in the back bunk, the hilt of a vibro-knife flipping between his fingers, over his knuckles, and from one hand to the other. Back and forth the blade dances. Around him, the ship is alive with activity. Nora off talking to Leia, updating her on their progress. We found Swift. Jazz shuttling from room to room, looking for her ammo belt.
I swear, if that droid misplaced it, I'm going to turn him into ammunition.
Temin, stalking the hallways, moaning again about how his mother keeps him in the ship and out of danger.
I'm an adult now, you know, basically, and I can handle myself.
Mr. Bones humming along, tapping and whirling about, singing some song in Huttese.
I am a beast too. I am a beast too. Chiskaru, wabbity-doo, wurbo, me-kele.
Syngia remains sitting and silent. The knife hilt rolls and turns. Sometimes he looks down and sees blood on his hands. Real, fresh blood. The fingertips wet and greasy with it. He thinks, I cut myself. The blade is out and I am injured. But then, the blood is gone again. An illusion. A dream. Real until it's not. Eventually, Jazz moves past the bunk room, the ammo belt slung over her shoulder, and she reverses and storms up to Syngier and says,
It was in the kitchen. Why was it in the kitchen?
He has no answer. So he shrugs, the blade still dancing. She narrows her eyes.
What's your problem?
I have no problem. I am a man unburdened by conflict.
Sure. And I'm a baby hut slug.
You're slimy, but not that slimy. She kicks him in the knee. Not hard. Ow!
No, really. What's your malfunction?
For starters, I don't have anything to drink. She sits down next to him.
Thought you quit drinking.
Hardly. I quit drinking Kowakian rum. Because even though it tastes like the sweet, syrupy glow of pure liquid stardust, it invokes the kind of hangover that makes you feel as if you've been romanced by an irascible rancor. It is the kind of hangover that makes you plead for death while hiding in the darkness under your bed covers, or even under the bed itself. No more Kowakian rum for me. He sniffs. Everything else is fair game.
You're doing that thing.
What thing?
That thing where you use mockery, sarcasm, and derision to deflect a sincere question.
Ah, that thing. It's a very good thing.
I'm not going to pull teeth. If you don't want to tell me what's going on with you, I won't pry.
Takask walask titan, he says. Do you remember telling me that phrase? On Kashyyyk, after our work was done?
I didn't just tell it to you. I called you that. A man without a star.
He finally stops moving the blade between his hands and stoops over, rubbing his eyes. I feel like you were wrong.
I'm not wrong often, so okay, lay it out for me.
He turns to her. This is my star. Not this ship, but this life. A life where I threaten people and make them do things. I tell them I will break their hands, kill their mothers, ruin all that they hold dear. I know how to find weakness. I know how to exploit it. And his voice drifts, and he almost fails to summon the next part. I think I enjoy it.
If you enjoyed it, you wouldn't be telling me this.
Perhaps.
Besides, you could have actually chosen to hurt Swift. I wouldn't have stood in your way. But you didn't. You did it with words, not violence.
Words can be violence. Jazz shrugs.
Sinjir, you need to think less. That brain of yours is a whole lot of trouble.
Now you know why I drink.
You ready for what's on Jakku?
She asks, changing the subject. He knows the subject at hand bothers her. Jazz cares little for self-reflection in herself or others. She is not only a woman with a star, he suspects she is the star itself. Implacable, serving itself. Disinterested in debating right or wrong. She doesn't orbit you. You orbit her. He plays along, letting the current of the conversational river take him where she wants it to go. If I overheard the conversation right, it sounds like what's on Jakku isn't much at all.
It's not Jakku. I'm worried about Nora.
Ah, Nora will be fine.
She's on edge.
Who isn't? Jazz drives the point home further.
She's becoming like me.
Nobody could become like you, dear heart. Besides, I noticed you were the one advising caution down there.
Someone has to be a voice of sanity, and I choose me. Nora's pushing herself hard. Not physically, emotionally. Her husband is in the wind again. Our quarry is a Grand Admiral she failed to dispatch above Akiva. Her son is here and theoretically in danger. Guilt and anger are driving her. She thinks this is all her fault.
Jazz gnaws at her lower lip, hard enough that Sinjir is surprised she hasn't drawn blood.
I just worry.
He shrugs and sighs. See, you're a good person because you worry about others, and I'm a good person because I didn't actually hurt Geb Teldar, and Nora's a good mother, and Temmin's a good son, and Mr. Bones is a very good murder droid. And we're all good people doing a good thing, and let's just shut up and get it done,
You mean to be sarcastic, but really that's damn sensible.
She pats his knee.
You might be right about all that.
Like you, it is rare that I'm wrong, Jazz Amari.
Let's hope Jakku has no surprises for us,
she says as she stands. Oh, I wouldn't count on that. The galaxy seems quite fond of surprising us, I'm afraid.
I can handle myself,
Temmin says to his mother. He waits till she's done talking to Leia, at least, before he begins his objection. But the moment she ends the call, he springs on her like a jaw trap.
You know I can!
Nora, seemingly startled by his presence, looks back.
What? You know what?
Temmin plunks down in the co-pilot's seat and straps in.
Yet again, you went planetside without me. Yet again, you left me and Bones on the ship. It started on Kashyyyk, and it's only gotten worse. Ord Mantell, Corellia, Jindao Station. Tem, we don't have time for this.
Nora's fingers move across the controls as she enters coordinates for this planet in the western reaches. Jakku. Wherever that is. Some dirtball planet that he won't get to see because, yet again, she'll make him stay in the moth.
Ugh!
Someone needs to stay with the ship and make sure it's ready to fly.
Bones can do that! Let me come with you, on Jakku!
No.
Mom! I said no!
She gives him a stern look.
Hyperspace cross-checks?
He rolls his eyes and scans the data.
Everything looks good.
He admits to himself that it's a pretty cursory glance. Navigation is totally boring. Piloting is where the fun is. The MK4 freighter is leaner than most, and has a ton of aftermarket mods that keep it nimble. But it's still nothing like flying Jazz's gunship, the Halo. Or better yet, an X-Wing. He dreams of flying those. Nora engages the hyperspace drive. The stars stretch into lines, and his stomach tightens as the ship lurches to lightspeed. They sit in silence for a while, watching the star lines pass. Eventually, Temin looks over to his mother, scowling.
This is what you do, isn't it? This is just you.
Going to hyperspace? What are you talking about?
You think you have to do it all by yourself. It's like when you joined the Rebellion. You left me behind to go off on some crusade to find Dad.
We're not looking for your father.
She speaks those words quietly. So quietly, he almost doesn't hear them over the thrum of the ship.
This is about something else, Tem.
I know. We're looking for Sloane. But it's because of Dad, isn't it? What he did? What she did? And you think she can help you find him. Which is great. It's smart. But don't leave me out of it. I want in. I want to be with you on this. I want to help.
I am very helpful,
Bones chimes in from behind them, whirling past with clanking, dancing feet.
See? We can help.
He knows this is hard on her. He knows that she wakes up at night crying out for him or his father. Nightmares, he guesses, though she won't say. Because of that, she sometimes chooses not to sleep. It's like she's standing vigil over the console. Like at some point, Brenton Wexley will just appear over the comms and tell them he's sorry and that everything will be okay. It wasn't even Dad's fault. They said he had something in his head, a control biochip like the ones in the Wookiees on Kashyyyk, except more advanced. These chips didn't just prevent behavior, they programmed it. They turned captives into killers. Good people made bad.
I was there too,
he says softly.
I saw what Dad did.
He thinks, but doesn't say.
He tried to kill himself.
Only after trying to kill Temin. In fact, if Temin hadn't intervened, his father would have ended it right there. Was that part of the programming? Or was that Dad resisting it?
I can't lose you too, Nora says.
You won't lose me, okay? Let me be a part of this.
But
her words die on her lips. Instead, she straightens up and gives a small shake to her head.
This is it, Jakku, coming up out of hyperspace. Ready?
Mom!
Not now, Tim. Later. Are we good?
Fine. Yes, whatever. Out of hyperspace in Mark 3.
2,
she says.
1.
They drop out of hyperspace, and that's when everything goes wrong.